The gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. It can be found on your Bible page 108 and the large print on 141. I invite you to hear a word from our Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. God, I ask that the words that come out of this mouth are not my words, but your words, and that the hearers in this place are encouraged, strengthened, enlivened by your words to go out and be your disciples and further the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Peace be with you. Those were the first words spoken by Christ in the company of all those gathered together in the room. Those gathered in the room did so behind closed, locked doors. It was a good thing, in my opinion, that those were the first words Christ said. Because if I were one of those people in that locked house, I would probably be fearing for my life. Not only is there a person in this room with us, but he got through locked doors without any trouble. When I think of people coming through a locked door, I think of invasion, unwelcome stranger, violation. I don't envision them speaking words of peace to me. In fact, while I was doing my training for clinical pastoral education in Dallas, my apartment was broken into. The culprits busted through the door and stole some of my electronics, and it was noticeable that they had also gone through my dresser of clothes. Not only was my living space no longer a safe place to be, but when you find that a stranger who was up to no good is rifling through your clothes, you tend to feel personally violated. But Jesus is different. Jesus spoke words of peace to further prove that he is the risen Lord. He showed the disciples his hands and his side. When they saw this, they were overcome with joy at the sight of their Lord, just as Christ said they would be back in chapter 16, verse 20 to 22, which says, "So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will be able to take that joy away from you." Christ has now fulfilled that promise by speaking words of peace to those gathered together in the room. Of course, there was one disciple that was not with them in the room, doubting Thomas. The others told him what they had witnessed, but Thomas did not believe them. He said, "I will only believe if I see for myself." How many of us are like that? How many of us only experience growth in our faith when we have had some sort of firsthand experience of Christ in our life? How many of us have doubted on our journey of faith? I include myself in one of those who doubt and prefer firsthand experiences of Christ to strengthen my faith. However, what Thomas did is no different than the other disciples. When Mary returned from the tomb to tell the other disciples that she had seen the risen Lord and the empty tomb, the disciples didn't believe her. Peter and the other disciples had to see for themselves, racing to the tomb to see that it was in fact empty. The disciples that were gathered together in that day, in that room, were also shown Christ's hands and side, just as Thomas was. While the disciples did not ask to see the wounds on Jesus like Thomas did, they still did not recognize or praise Jesus as the risen Lord until after Jesus voluntarily showed them the nail holes in his hands and the spear mark in his side. Thomas kind of gets a bad rap as the only doubting disciple. But what is important, though, is that Christ never shames Thomas. He never, in fact, calls Thomas a doubter. He does not rebuke him. In fact, if you look at the Greek language for verse 27, it actually literally reads, "Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Jesus gives to Thomas exactly what he asks for in order for Thomas to move from an unbeliever to a believer. Jesus offers himself just like he has done throughout the Gospels. It is because Jesus offers himself that Thomas believes. Just as in this story, we all have different levels of belief and faith. We are on different journeys of faith. Different experiences have shaped how we view Jesus and how strong our relationship is to the living Christ. There are some that will believe without seeing. There are others who will believe only those people who they feel are credible witnesses. And then there are some people who will only believe if they have cold, hard evidence, something tangible that they can touch, just as Thomas went from unbelieving to believing after he touched his fingers in the wounds of Christ. Despite that we are all at different places in our faith journey, Christ's response is the same. "Peace be with you." He does not withhold any peace, grace, or love from those whose faith is as strong as a blazing fire, nor does he withhold anything from those whose faith is like the flicker of a small candle or the spark of a match trying to light. To all types of believers, Christ gives the gift of the Spirit. He breathes onto all of his disciples and says to them, "Receive the living hope in the form of the Holy Spirit, who will be with you just as I promised you before I died. Now, I had a mentor once when I was in college that commented on how he hoped Jesus had a breath mint before he breathed on the disciples. After all, he had been dead for 3 days. But the concept of breath is very significant to the whole Bible, both the New and Old Testament. The world would not exist if it weren't for God's spoken words and God's breath, which breathed creation into being. In Genesis, God breathed into the first humans, giving them life. We are reminded of this life-giving breath in the Wisdom of Solomon, when the author reminds the people that they are living beings because God breathed a living spirit into them. And again, we hear about this life-giving breath in Ezekiel, when God breathed life into the dry, dead bones. God's breath is the same breath that Jesus used to give the Holy Spirit to the disciples. The first breath that created the world in which we live and gives us life is the same breath that gives us the Holy Spirit, our constant advocate, the presence of God and Christ with us every day. Creation of this beautiful world, the birds singing, the wind blowing, the animals roaming, the spectacular sunsets, and the humans that God breathed life into is the first creation that God fashioned. When Christ breathes the same breath onto the disciples to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit, he is not just giving them the Holy Spirit, but he is making them a new, or perhaps second, creation. This breath marks the new life of believers in the risen Lord. As one commentator puts it, those who believe in Jesus receive new life as children of God, and the Holy Spirit is the breath that sustains that life. Christ invites us to receive this new life, this new hope. Creation gives us hope. We depend on creation for life. We receive from it oxygen to breathe, food to eat, water to drink. Creation keeps us alive. As a new community of believers who have received the Holy Spirit, we are given a new chance, a second chance, to view creation as the first sign of hope that God created. What we do with our new life in the risen Christ is our calling. We are now commissioned by Christ. Christ tells his disciples and us that just as the Father has sent him, so he sends us into the world to be a witness, to live as a community of faith, to spread the word of the living Christ, to care for the earth in which we live, and to practice the art of forgiveness. The Spirit was not given to one individual, but to a community of people across the generations. It is our mission to live as a new community commissioned by Christ. We have been given the responsibility to care for and nurture creation, which includes humanity as well. The Interpretation Bible Commentary Series has this to say about Christ's commission to us and our responsibility. By loving one another as Jesus loves, the community reveals God to the world. By revealing God to the world, the church makes it possible for the world to choose a relationship with God, with the God of limitless love. The faith community's mission, therefore, is to bear unceasing witness to the love of God in Jesus. Creation was made to show us the beauty of love. We were created to love. God sent Christ to us to teach us how to love. And Christ now sends us out to teach others how to love. Christ commissions us to continue his good work in creation by forgiving sins of others, feeding the hungry, finding ways to peacefully end disputes that don't involve genocide or war, and being a neighbor to all who are in our midst. As a part of our mission, Christ challenges us to unlock the doors of our hearts, to see people for who they really are, children of God. Singer and songwriter David Lamont posted on his family home this big poster that says, "You are our neighbors, no matter who you vote for, your skin color, your faith, or who you love. We will try to be here for you. That is what community means. Let's be neighbors." So I invite you to receive the living hope from the risen Lord and use that living hope to further the love, peace, and care for all of God's creation. Amen.